Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, Ministry in the Period of Christ. And just for this class, one of the things that I really wanted to go over a little bit that we kind of touched on in our last class, but I'll just go into a little bit more depth, I think, in this class, is in our last class, we looked at some passages. Our main passage was Numbers 33, 50 through 53, where we were seeing how that the Lord doesn't come to destroy the land. He comes to bring the land to purpose. What He does come to do is destroy everything that fills the land that is not Him. He comes to destroy also our illusions and our imaginations and every high place where they are found. I didn't use the verse for the last class, but you can see Paul saying the same thing, casting down imaginations. And those, of course, imaginations are only cast down in the face of Christ, nowhere else, because it is no exercise of the flesh whatsoever. It's the beholding of the face of Christ. So that was our main, passage, Numbers 33, verse 50 through 53 of our last class. And then towards the end of the class, we looked at just Saul. And when the Lord spoke to Saul to go, or spoke to Samuel to tell Saul to go destroy the Amalekites, and how that Saul failed in that. And I just wanted to kind of pick up right there with that, because there's reasons why Saul could not fully complete his errand, fully complete his mission, fully, let's put it this way, fully serve the Lord, okay? Since our class is called Ministry in the Period of Christ. Excuse me. So I have a couple of comments that I'll be mentioning just concerning that, and I'll be going over some verses as well. But I'm looking at this as inward obedience. And just thinking of Saul, with his conversation with Samuel, his conversation towards Samuel was, "I did obey the Lord. I did complete what the Lord wanted." And Samuel was like, "No, you did not." But Saul was insistent, "Yes, I did. I completed, I performed that which the Lord wanted." Well, here's my comment. Saul could not fulfill, listen to this, outward obedience. See, there's a difference. There is that which is on the outside, outward, from without, and then there is that which is on the inside, from within. Okay, we are no longer in an old covenant where it is on the outside from without. We are now in the new covenant, Christ Himself, where it is inward, even within. Okay, Saul could not fulfill outward obedience. He could not, period. He could not. He could not. With the very first thing that the Lord has him do, he cannot do. And everything thereafter, he just fails miserably in every outward manner of, listen, of trying to serve the Lord. Saul fails miserably. And this is the reason why. Saul could not fulfill outward obedience because he had not fulfilled inward obedience. And nor can we. See, here was the situation. We'll just kind of see it in different passages in a second. All Israel is in type in resurrection. Now they are to fill the land with Israel. Destroy all the inhabitants. Destroy everything that is not Israel. Everything that is not the Son. Okay? We looked at the passage in Numbers 33. Saul could not do that. He couldn't do that. Why? Because in reality, his heart on the inside was not turned unto the Lord. He was not obedient unto the voice. Not the voice from the outside, but the voice that speaks to the inside. Remember, that speaks to the heart. Remember when the Lord spoke to Samuel And basically the Lord says, I have found a man after my own heart. He goes on to say also, for God looketh not on the outward, but he looketh upon the heart. Okay? All of Saul's doing was based on outward. Outward. In his mind, yes, outwardly he obeyed the Lord. He did what needed to be done. He served the Lord. But inwardly, he was disobedient. Okay. So Saul could not fulfill outward obedience because he had not fulfilled inward obedience. And listen, nor can we. It matters not what we do to serve Jesus. It doesn't matter what we call our doing for the Lord or what I'm doing or how I'm serving the Lord. If our heart, please listen, if our heart is not turned toward the Lord, then whatever action we do or do not do is in disobedience. It doesn't matter. It may look outwardly like we're serving the Lord, like we're doing something great for God. But if our heart is not turned in obedience to what? The voice. We covered this in the last class. Like John. John heard the voice and he turned to see the voice. He was obedient unto the voice. The same thing with the Apostle Paul. King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. The heavenly vision that no man around Paul saw except, around Paul at that time saw except Paul. Why? Because his heart was turned to the Lord. Only one, the Lord appeared there in the midst. Only one man saw the Lord. Paul. Why? Because his heart was turned to the Lord. The Lord, we'd covered it in a previous class, the Lord had been dealing with his heart till finally his heart turned. Okay? So it matters not what we see outwardly or what we do outwardly. God really doesn't care about that at all. God cares whether we are serving, listen, purpose. The appearing of his Son, the appearing of his Christ. Remember, in that day many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I do this miracle? Didn't I cast out devils in your name? Didn't I? And the Lord will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Face to face, I never knew you. Therefore, it's all in disobedience. Workers of lawlessness, disobedience. Okay. So, if inward obedience is not fulfilled, then no matter what we do, though we call it, sincerely say that it is for Jesus, for God, for the Lord, etc., it is all done out of disobedience. If inward obedience is not fulfilled, remember, the heart must turn to the Lord. That's the purpose of the soul. To continue in purpose, to continue in, please listen, obedience. We're going to be looking at the children of Israel, and they were in disobedience, and we're going to see why. And this is going to shed light on why Saul was continuing in disobedience. Okay. Another thing that Saul said to Samuel was, turn with me that we may worship the Lord thy God. Right? It was you listen to it, it's like the children of Israel. You go, Moses, you go talk to the Lord and you just tell us what to do. That we may worship the Lord thy God. You go, Samuel, you go before the face of the Lord and you just tell me what to do. You go behold his face, and I will behold my own face. In a different translation, in a Spanish translation, it says that, and Saul built himself a monument. It doesn't say it in the King James, but in a Spanish translation, it says that Saul built himself a monument. I can only assume that it's a monument after his own image, after his own face. But, so going on, if inward obedience is not fulfilled, then no matter what we do, though we call it for Jesus, for God, for the Lord, it is done out from disobedience. Obedience is of the heart, not of the action. Obedience is inward, not outward. Because we are no longer, it is no longer an old covenant. It is a new covenant where Christ is on the inside. Obedience unto the voice, to turn, to see the voice, and obedience unto the heavenly vision, continuing in that very vision, continuing in that very appearing. All right. So the children of Israel, because as I stated, Saul said, the Lord thy God. We're going to talk a little bit about the children of Israel. And just to bring you to speed, in our previous classes, we were dealing with how the children of Israel had come to the door, come to the death, into the burial at the Red Sea, and then they were in type in resurrection, and all Egypt remained buried in the Red Sea, at the Red Sea. Only the sun came forth in resurrection, okay? Now, and then we had the Lord continuing to tell Israel, now go in and take possession of the land that I've given you. Now go in and take the land. Now go in and take your inheritance. Okay, that's what we're picking up right now. The children of Israel rejected the heavenly voice and heavenly vision. And we covered this in a previous class. So it shouldn't be anything new. The children of Israel rejected the heavenly voice and heavenly vision. All right. This is Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 through 21. We're just going to look at parts of this passage. This is verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet. Thunderings, lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet. The light and the sound of a voice as of a trumpet. And I won't go any further than that. I will. Revelation chapter 1. There you go. The description of light and the voices of the sound of a trumpet. This is the Lord. And the mountain smoking, and when the people saw, okay, they removed and stood afar off. There you go. It goes on, verse 19. And he said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. There we go. You speak to us, we'll hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Once again with our diagram. But here they are in type and resurrection. Moses, you speak with us, because your heart is turned to the Lord. You continue in the appearing of the Lord. But let not God speak with us, because lest we, our imagination, our illusion, die. They're basically saying, let me not continue in obedience to the voice, lest my imagination and illusion that are served in my high places come to naught. Lest I see reality, lest I see the face of God myself, and therefore my illusion, my imagination is done away with. That's basically what they're saying. Lest we die. Verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. And that his fear, listen, his fear, not your fear, his fear may be before your faces. Why? What is the fear that's before their faces? The fear of the loss of that which they consider to be their life. But it's not their life. The fear of the loss of that. Remember, we looked at it in the previous class, the illusion, their concept of what they think reality is. Their illusion of reality. The loss of what they think is their life. Down over here. But it's not their life. That's not their life. Whether they understood it or not, the testimony is true. The Lord was their life. Okay? Whether they understood it or not. For the believer, whether we understand it or not, Christ is our life. So he goes on, that his fear may be before your faces. Not the fear of man, but the fear of the Lord. Not the fear of you losing what you think is yours, but his fear. Okay? That, it goes on, so that ye sin not. The phrase that ye sin is Strong's number 2398. It basically means this. To miss, to sin. Miss the goal or path of right and duty. There it is. Keep the fear of the Lord before your face so you don't miss the goal. So you don't miss the mark. So you don't come short of the glory of God found exclusively in the face of Jesus Christ. Very simple. Verse 21, and the people stood afar off. He said, basically, no, we will not. we will stay afar off. And Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. The people stood afar off. Moses drew near. Moses continues in obedience. Therefore, he can minister the purpose of God. Moses continues in purpose. Therefore, he is obedient unto the purpose of God. Okay. Another passage, this is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 22 through 31. Verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto you, unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And it goes on, and he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. All right, I'll pick up. That's the same type of recounting of what happened in Exodus. And then verse 24. And you said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness. They saw the glory of the Lord. They saw the greatness of the Lord. And we have heard his voice. There it is. Everything. The Lord had them begin in purpose, and he was having them continue in purpose. They heard his voice. They saw his glory and his greatness. The Lord continues to bring their hearts to continue in purpose. They began in purpose. He has them continue in purpose. All right, out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Verse 25, here we go. Here's their whole rejection of purpose. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. If we hear the voice of God anymore, it will demand our obedience to turn. And if we turn, the veil, our imagination, our concepts, our illusion of reality, will be taken away. Then we shall die. We shall lose our vain imagination. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Verse 27, speaking to Moses, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear and do. You go near, Moses, but we'll remain afar off. You go near, Moses, and continue in purpose, but we will be disobedient to the purpose. We will be disobedient to the voice. You, Moses, obey the voice of the Lord, but we will not. Okay? That's basically what they're saying. Verse 28, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. They have well said all that they have spoken. The Lord's saying, I heard what they said. They spoke well. If they do continue, if they do turn their heart, if they are obedient to the voice, then they will indeed lose their concepts, lose their imagination, lose their illusion. That will die. That will come to an end. For our God is a consuming fire. Okay. Verse 29, listen to the Lord. Oh, that there were such an heart in them. See, the Lord is not concerned with all the outward stuff that's going on or not going on. Whether outwardly it seems like we're complete reprobates or complete angels. No. Such a heart in them. He's concerned with the heart. It's a matter of the heart. The issue is a heart issue. Is your heart turned unto the Lord, unto his face, or is your heart turned unto your own face, the face of humanity? Is your heart turned unto the person, the substance of truth, or is your heart turned unto the substance of the lie, the substance of illusion, of vanity, of imagination? It's all with the heart. Okay. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me, and not the loss of their imaginations and illusions. See, that was the whole deal with Saul. Remember, I heard the people and I feared their voice. I obeyed the voice of the people, I heard them. I feared the people. And I obeyed the voice of the people. That was the whole deal. He would not, Saul, like here the children of Israel, would not fear the Lord, but feared man. So therefore, he could not serve the Lord. Even though he did things outwardly, it was in disobedience. Okay? All right. And he goes on, and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Verse 30, go say to them, get you into your tents again. Fine then, you go into your tents. But as for thee, Moses, stand thou here by me. But as for you, Moses, who continue. But as for you, Moses, whose heart is turned to behold my glory, that I may speak to you face to face, continue. Continue in purpose. Okay. So the children of Israel rejected the heavenly voice and heavenly vision. You see the same thing in Saul. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, everything they did was all in and out from disobedience for 40 years. Remember, they were in the wilderness of ignorance and disobedience. Not because they were obedient unto the Lord, but because they were disobedient unto the Lord. And what is it? What was the obedience? What was the disobedience? They would not turn their hearts to the Lord, that the veil be removed, that this should die, that this, their imaginations, their illusions would be consumed by our God is a consuming fire in the face of God, in the face of Christ. Okay? Generation, a whole generation, lost to purpose, not serving purpose. Listen to this. A whole generation that the Lord brought into purpose. This shall be the beginning of days. This is, shall be your beginning, the beginning of months for you. A whole generation that was brought into purpose, was obedient at the beginning, continued in purpose into the Red Sea, into the burial, brought into purpose, continue in purpose, and at some point rejected to continue in purpose. A whole generation in purpose and not serving that very purpose, but being disobedient to it by simply not turning the heart to the Lord. And all an inward deal. The whole situation, I'm thinking with Elijah and Mount Carmel, the whole situation there, the prayer and everything, Israel was off, once again with our diagram, Israel was off serving the Baals, serving what they thought was their master. They had no longer seen the Lord as their master. They had no longer seen the Lord as their God. They were serving other images, other imaginations, other illusions. And here comes Elijah praying to the Lord, Lord, that this may be, that this people may know that thou hast turned their heart back unto thee again. That was it. That was it. Because when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And there is immediately the mind of Christ present, governing. Because the mind of Christ is present here, above. But the mind of Christ governs in light. So you can be born again, and the mind of Christ is present. But you may not be governed by the mind of Christ till light appears. Because the mind of Christ does not govern in darkness. Governs in light. Okay. So therefore, everything they did was all in and out from disobedience for 40 years. 40 years wasted. Not serving purpose. All right. Also, listen to this. This is why I'm saying it has nothing to do with outward obedience. Also, when they did try to go in and possess the land, the ark, that which represents the face of God, did not go before them because they refused this, their purpose earlier. See? In every march, the ark set the... Raven was covering in one of his classes when they were coming into, you know, passing through Jordan. Set the ark out before you. The face of God shall lead. The face of God is the goal. You'll follow the face of God. It's all it. The purpose, the goal, the end goal, the face of God. The ark, what does it represent? That face-to-face relationship. The heavenly relationship. The face-to-face. That's what the cherubs are. Heavenly creatures. Face-to-face. And there will I appear in the midst of you. The ark did not go before them. Because they refused this, their purpose, earlier. See, how can you do something? How can you be outwardly obedient if you're not inwardly obedient? It's impossible. Yes, outwardly it may seem so, but to the Lord, it's disobedience. It's disobedience. Okay? We're going to look at that passage. This is Numbers chapter 14, verse 39 through 45. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. This is when God said, fine, you're going to drop in the wilderness. This generation is not going in. All right, they mourned greatly. It's like, oh no, what have we done? We've just rejected our purpose for existing. It's a good reason to mourn. But look what they do. See, they mourned greatly. And see, that's the thing. See, so many times repentance is declared as stop doing this. Stop doing that and do this. But true repentance is when the heart turns unto the Lord and the veil is removed. That's true repentance. True repentance is inward, not outward. Okay? They mourned greatly. Verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning. Would to God it had have been the morning. Amen? If it were truly the morning, their hearts would have turned. Right? The morning. The day dawn. Day star rise in your hearts. But they rose up early in a natural morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we go up unto the place which the Lord our God hath promised, for we have sinned. I wrote a comment here, and Raven and I were talking about this, but outward obedience, based on this, what I just read, outward obedience with no inward obedience is sin. That's a hard thing to grasp. But listen, outward obedience with no inward obedience is sin. It's sin. Why? Because the heart has already missed the mark, missed the goal. So what's the point of everything else it has done? It's out from that coming short of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Raven had mentioned that it's not faith. And everything that is not faith is sin. Very simple. Faith is not an outward thing. Faith is an inward thing. Obedience is not an outward thing. Obedience is an inward thing. Okay? Lo, and we will go up to the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Verse 41, and Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Moses, who the Lord says, okay, you continue. You know, let the people go to their tents, their dwellings where they are dwelling, but you continue where you are dwelling. And therefore Moses can say this, why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Why are you now trying to accomplish something outwardly? It will not prosper. I'll go ahead and read it. Verse 42, go not up, don't do it, for the Lord is not among you. Why is the Lord not among them? Because they are not before the face of the Lord. Remember? The ark did not go before them. Their hearts were not set to that beholding of the face of God. The ark did not go before them. And all that the ark represents, the fellowship of God, the face-to-face fellowship that they rejected in the previous verses that we looked at in Exodus and Deuteronomy. You go, Moses, not us, lest we, our imaginations and our illusions, be consumed. For our God is a consuming fire. Okay? How sad. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. You've already rejected inwardly his word, his voice, that you may turn and behold the voice. So now everything you do outwardly is sin, is rejecting, is in disobedience, really. All right, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword. Listen to this. Because, that was verse 43, Numbers 14. Because all this is, don't do it. God's not with you. You're going to be smitten. Don't go putting your hand to this. Don't go trying to serve outwardly. Don't go trying to be obedient outwardly. Because you are turned away from the Lord. Because, don't try to do this. Don't try to do that. Because you are turned away from the Lord. It's spelled out so clearly. Outward obedience without inward obedience is sin. It is sin. Because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore, because of this, the Lord will not be with you. See, the Lord said, listen to this. The Lord said, I will go before you and drive them out before my face. I will go before you. The ark, I will go before you. Just don't make a covenant with them. Keep covenant with me. Face-to-face covenant. I will go before you. But if they reject face-to-face covenant with the Lord, then they've rejected everything. It doesn't matter at that point what they do or don't do. The Lord is not in it. Because their hearts are somewhere else. See, listen to this. Look at it this way. The Lord is not in it because their hearts are here. The Lord is not in it. The Lord's not here. The Lord's not in your vain imagination. The Lord's not in my imagination. The Lord's not in my illusion. He's not in it. He's in purpose. He brings to purpose and he works to continue. He works that our hearts continue in purpose. It's very simple. Really simple. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. But they presume to go up onto the hilltop. Listen to this. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. We can do it in the name of God, in the name of Jehovah. We can do it. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you reject me, then you cannot do anything. And it is not you who can do anything anyway. I will go before you. I will. But if it's not the Lord being the one who is the doing, then it is all an exercise of the flesh. In disobedience. All right. Verse 45. Then the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them. There you go. And discomfited them, even unto Hormah. They smote them. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I want to go ahead and read verse 26. I was looking at this afterwards. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 26. Just recounting the whole situation. I think it might have been Moses recounting the whole situation. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 26. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, this people is greater and taller than we. That's it. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. I looked up a couple of those terms. Rebelled is Strong's number 4784. It basically means disobedience. You were disobedient unto the commandment of the Lord your God. The commandment in Strong's number 6310 is basically the mouth. You were disobedient unto the mouth. If you're disobedient unto the mouth of the Lord, you're disobedient unto His voice. All right. So that's the whole context of this right here, Deuteronomy 1:34-35. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swore, saying, verse 35, surely there shall not one of these men of this, listen, of this evil generation. See the good land which I swear to you to give unto your fathers. Of this evil generation, an evil generation whose eye is not single, whose eye is not good, whose eye falters and sees illusions. An evil generation. Verse 36, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because, this is the reason, this is why, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. He hath wholly followed the Lord. Verse 39, moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they weren't continuing to feed off this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, he goes on, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. It goes on, we have sinned against the Lord, we will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. Verse 42, and the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. Verse 43, I spake unto you, and you would not hear. I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled. You were disobedient against the commandment, the mouth of the Lord, and went up presumptuously into the hill. All right. And the Amorites, which dwelt in the mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir. Verse 45, and you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. Okay? Outward obedience means nothing to God without inward obedience. Look what I did, Lord, means nothing to the Lord. You returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice nor give ear unto you. Why? Because they returned and wept before the Lord for what, listen, for what I have done outwardly, for what I attempted to do, versus you returned and in your heart returned and wept before the Lord. For I have missed the purpose. For I have come short. See, and here's the situation. It's not, even in our own hearts, it's not so much so that, Lord, this an example of a prayer, Lord, turn my heart unto you, because of the situation, or because I'm thinking these thoughts, or because my mind is off into vanity. No, that's the goal, is trying to remedy your situation, your condition. Okay, no. This is a better prayer. Lord, because I'm having such thoughts, or because my heart is off into vanity, therefore, it shows that I've already turned from you. That I've already missed the mark. This is just the evidence of it. My goal is not to remedy this. My goal is to behold your face, that my heart would turn, that the veil be removed, and I behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is just an evidence in me that my heart is turned from you. Since my goal is to behold your face, turn my heart, that I may behold your face, regardless of this other. Do you see the difference? One is, Lord, reveal your Son in me so that this situation will no longer exist. The other type is this. Lord, because my heart is turned from you, because this situation exists, it shows, it proves that my heart is turned from you. And my greatest desire is to behold your face. My greatest desire is to continue in the appearing of Christ. My greatest desire is that Christ continue to be revealed in me. Therefore, turn my heart unto you, that I may continue in your purpose. This, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right or correctly, but there's a difference. There's a difference of the motive. There's a difference of the motive. One is trying to correct outward situation. The other one is seeing, or not even outward situation, it could be inward as well, but the other is seeing that this is the evidence of the lack of the greater. See, they saw the evidence of the outward and tried to remedy the outward, tried to fix the outward and come to the Lord based on all this other stuff without remedying the inward, without seeing this, oh, this is just the evidence that my heart is not turned to the Lord. Oh my God, turn my heart unto you. This is what I desire. But they would not continue. Lest our God, a consuming fire, we be consumed. Our illusions, our imaginations be consumed. Lest our high thoughts, our vain thoughts, our imaginations be cast down. So that had to do with inward obedience and outward obedience, even with King Saul. And it just shows how even when inward obedience is not fulfilled, outward obedience will never be fulfilled. Period. Period. It's all very simple. And I don't mean this like as a real, heavy note or weight to bear. No, I don't mean it that way. It's just so simple. The purpose of God, I don't know if I'm going to get to this comment that I have. And I may not. The purpose of God is not doing. The purpose of the Lord is the appearing of Christ. Okay? If we do not continue in purpose, then all of our doing is out of disobedience. Doing was never the goal, right? Doing was never the goal. Remember, the Lord said, I will go before you, take possession. But before that, the whole situation, they're like, no, we don't want to behold the glory of God anymore. It says they saw His glory, they saw His greatness, they heard His voice. No more. Lest we, our imaginations, perish, be consumed, lest our illusions be consumed. See, that was their sin. They rejected purpose. Therefore, regardless, the Lord, they knew, well, the Lord wants us in the land. I guess we're going to serve the Lord and do the deal, go into the land. No. It's not about doing. It's not about doing. It's continuing in purpose. Continuing in purpose. If we do not continue in purpose, then regardless of what we do, it's disobedience. Because the doing is not out from light, life, glory. It's out from darkness. Darkness, death. Gory. Gory. So it's not to be so a doom and gloom type deal. It's just to make us aware. I don't know if I have that comment because I couldn't find it in my notes. And I probably have it in another sheet somewhere. But when we continue in purpose, then we serve the Lord. There is the serving of the Lord in purpose. There is no serving of the Lord outside of purpose. The ministry of God is found in purpose. The ministry of God is not found outside of purpose. Okay? All right. We have a little bit of time here. Ah, here we go. I highlighted it in my notes. It's a little further down. We may not get to it today. But here it is. Listen to this. The appearing of Christ is the purpose for the soul. Okay? Period. The appearing of Christ is the purpose for the soul. Remember, the children of Israel had been brought into purpose. Now they were to continue in purpose. The Lord had them to continue in purpose. This, thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. The first, the second, the Lord from heaven. Thy seeing me hereafter. Okay? Listen to this. The appearing of Christ is the purpose for the soul and the goal of all the ministry of God. That's better put. I'll read it again. The ministry of Christ is the purpose for the soul and the goal of all the ministry of God. See, this is the goal. Here's Moses, right? Come on, let's go. Here's Moses. Come on, everybody. Come on. And here's the people. No, no, no. Okay. Then you're rejecting the purpose. Okay. The goal of all the ministry of God. If any ministry is not directing the heart toward the face of Christ, it's not the ministry of God. It is the ministry of man, right? Which is disobedience. That's what Saul said. I heard and obeyed the voice of the people. I feared the people. I feared their face. Therefore, I could not continue. I could not bring the rest into purpose. I feared their face. I did not fear the face of the Lord. Oh, that they had a heart that would fear me. A heart. Very simple, a heart issue. With David, a man after my own heart. What did David do? See, here's the deal. I mean, people look at David and said, oh, well, it's because he was God's anointed that, you know, the Lord let him slide on some things. No. Remember? Outward obedience means nothing without inward obedience. That's why you have two kings. Here you have Saul. Here's another example. You've got Saul outwardly being obedient as much as he can without inward obedience. And he is rejected of God. Very simple. Then you have David, who outwardly sometimes obeys the Lord, is obedient, and then sometimes is blatantly disobedient, but is not rejected of God. Why? Because it's inwardly his heart is turned toward the Lord. Because inwardly, David would say, the Lord my God. Right? The Lord my God. Versus Saul that says, the Lord thy God, Samuel. Big difference. All with the issue of the heart. All with the issue of the heart. I'm getting close to time here, and I may end up saving this whole other section is just a completely new section. I'm going to go ahead and hold that off for our next class. I'll just go ahead and read just a couple of things again from this class concerning Saul. And Saul was sent to destroy everything. Listen, Saul was sent to destroy everything. Destroy everything. But he and the people spared. Why? Because the heart was not set to behold the face of Christ, where our imaginations, where our illusions would be consumed by our God. All right. Saul could not fulfill outward obedience because he had not fulfilled inward obedience. To miss the goal or path of right and duty. The face of God did not go before them, but their own face. Wow, I don't know if I read that comment or not. This is concerning the children of Israel. Also, when they did try to go in and possess the land, right, fulfill outward obedience, the ark, that which represents the face of God, did not go before them because they refused this, their purpose earlier. The face of God did not go before them, but their own face went before them. It was no longer the face of the Lord. So I'm not going to harp, bring down with a gavel anymore just on that, but just to kind of set our, jog us, not jog our minds, jog our carnal minds or anything, but just to jog our hearts. You know, the Lord is not concerned with what we're doing or what we're not doing. With the Lord, it's a heart issue. The Lord brings a soul, listen, the Lord brings a soul into purpose, that it may begin in purpose. The Lord continues to deal with that soul, that it would continue in purpose. First and foremost, it is the obedience, the inward obedience unto the voice. Then, outward obedience is fulfilled automatically. When inward obedience to the voice is fulfilled, then outwardly it is done in faith. Outwardly it is done in the Lord. Outwardly it is done in the Spirit. Automatically. Remember the term automatic. It is all automatic out of the face of Christ. So just in our thoughts and everything, even as I stated before in a previous class, when we hear such things as this, and my thought is, well, how is my heart? I don't know if my heart's turned to the Lord, or how do I turn my heart to the Lord, or Lord, turn my heart. What kind of prayer is that? If you're sincere, then just say, Lord, because I do this, Lord, turn my heart unto you. Because all this other stuff is the evidence that my heart isn't turned unto you. Turn my heart unto you. Because I truly want to continue in purpose. I truly want to see your face. And be obedient unto your voice. Be obedient unto the heavenly vision. And then out from that, whatever is automatic is automatic. But I want to continue in purpose. How can one minister purpose if one does not continue in purpose? How can one declare purpose if one does not continue in purpose? So, may the Lord once again continue to deal with our hearts, keep our hearts turned unto Him, and just look at these things not as condemning things at all in any way, shape, or matter, because remember I said they were brought into purpose. Saul was brought into purpose. The children of Israel were brought into purpose. As I brought you on eagle's wings unto myself. They were brought into purpose. The thing is to continue in purpose. To serve that purpose. How do I do this? How do I serve the Lord? How am I going to do this? Very simply. The turning of the heart unto the face of Christ. That the veil be removed. And the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ. Very simple. Very simple. So may we continue in this purpose. May the Lord continue stirring our hearts unto His own face, that we would not go with our own face before us, but that His face would go before us. Amen? Amen. We'll see you again in our next class. The Lord bless you all. Amen.